Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
Doing just great. Another 100 degree day in the books.
Yeah. Are you slated to have like a super hot 4th of July?
I don't know. I haven't really paid attention.
They were saying for like South Carolina, it's going to be close to, if not over 100 degrees at like peak. And that's fucking hot for here. So doesn't want to make me go out and watch fireworks, though. Although I think I've seen enough fireworks for my lifetime.
Yeah.
I have worked in places.
Oh, apparently we're supposed to have mainly thunderstorms the entire week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so that'd be fun. Like 50 to 75%.
Oh, that's great for the tourist area.
Yeah, it's a good thing that I wasn't planning on doing anything.
All those people that put their vacations on credit cards so that they could come down and spend 4th of July at Universal and Disney.
It's an act of God. Can't help you there.
And then they'll all be pissed off when they can't get what they want. Entitlement will ensue.
Well, you can't sue for weather.
Well, I guess they could always go up to Washington and go to that fair thing because there seems to be nobody there.
It looks like so much fun. Have you seen footage of it?
I've not seen footage. I've seen pictures. I've seen somebody took a picture of somebody performing on stage and then zoomed into their reflective sunglasses and there was like four people watching them.
Yep.
I've seen pictures that Dean Cain put up off of the Ferris wheel where he was saying it was packed and there's like a couple of dozen people on the lawn. So yeah, it looks great. Looks like money well spent. Can't feed school children, but you can do that.
We're rich. We can do that.
We are? Wait, nobody told me.
Oh.
my bank account would like a word, please.
Yeah. apparently there was a 250th anniversary celebration being developed by the Smithsonian.
Okay.
And the administration decided that they were going to do their own thing. And it looks like the worst trade show anybody could come up with. Well, apparently, several states didn't even bother to participate.
Yeah, I saw something about North Carolina.
Like
they've
got like 10 by 10 little rooms in these tent structures.
Yeah.
Where there's like a backdrop and a couple of chairs. Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah, I saw something about North Carolina where it was like their state flag along with a Confederate flag, and that was like the big thing on the back wall. And see, the problem is all these people go to Disney for like wine and garden or wine and food and the garden festival and all that bullshit, and they're like, well, it's got to be easy. Disney does it.
Right.
But like Disney has honed that shit for years. They got that shit down pat. Well, like, what's Trump got?
Well, apparently a toupee based on recent photos.
Yeah.
Have you seen that? The pictures of the toupee flipped up on his head?
I don't know whether or not that's AI or not, but it is funny.
It's very funny.
But now there's all he's on some experimental drug that's keeping him alive.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's going to start the zombie apocalypse, right? Like, he's going to be patient zero and fuck up everything. He can't just die and leave us in peace.
Right.
That'd be too easy. He's got to take the whole fucking world down with him.
Well, he's already doing that.
Yeah.
You know, Iran is bombing our sites again and...
But how? He said that everything was obliterated multiple times.
Right?
I don't understand, man.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I don't know. I don't
think. There's also rumors that Mitch McConnell has died and they're just not telling anyone.
I saw that too. Like, is that's against the law though. Like if they're hiding that and that comes out, like, but what would be the sense of saying that he's alive? Like, besides them having to
You don't have to replace him.
But don't they have to replace him with somebody, a Republican, because he's not out of his term yet?
I guess.
So, unless Kentucky just doesn't have anybody else that's, I don't know, as bad as him? I don't know. I don't know what the criteria would be. It's got to be a horrible person. That's one.
Well, yeah.
But, yeah, I don't... It's just like the other, is it a senator or congressperson that's been missing since like April? Have you seen that?
Yes.
Yeah, like he hasn't, like nobody in his office has seen him. His constituents haven't seen him. Like he's just not been around and he's missed all kinds of votes and shit. And it's like, shouldn't there be a way to force the Republicans to tell you what's going on?
Like, it is the Republican representative from Washington. No, from New Jersey.
Oh, there we go.
And he's been missing for about 100 days. Neighbors say his house has been empty for quite a while. His wife has now vanished.
Yeah, what the fuck, man?
I don't know. Maybe he fell out a window like all those Russian generals do.
But then why wouldn't they try to replace him with another lackey?
I don't know. Maybe the lackeys are getting harder to find.
Well.
You know, when you're dealing with paranoia.
I guess.
Do you trust anyone? Very bizarre world we're living in.
Yes. Yep. I am fully convinced that we all died in 2020 and this is just hell. Cause it very much seems that way.
Interesting.
We're all just really bad people that have had to put up with all the shit.
It's all right. Soon we'll wake up from the pods.
Find out the AI is in charge.
Yes. I mean, it's not.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, apparently the state fairs or the America's Fair thing is closed right now for bad weather.
Oh, is that why the Vanilla Ice concert was canceled?
Well, yeah, and then it didn't rain, which I think is hysterical. but the best part is the thing on Reddit says Trump State Fair is now closed due to supposed bad weather. Tens of people affected. That's funny.
And meanwhile, Dean Cain is still at the top of the Ferris wheel.
Oh, we could only hope he got stuck there. Fuck that guy. So have you watched anything this week?
I have.
Okay. What'd you watch?
I've been exploring things.
Oh. Okay.
So I watched Smokey and the Bandit.
Oh, nice.
Very odd movie just based on car chases.
Yeah,
he's like trying to smuggle Coors beer into Georgia.
Yeah, it's from a really weird time when, like, I guess you couldn't get Coors beer in Georgia, and he's got to go. Where's he got to go? He's got to go to like Texarkana. Is that where it starts from?
Maybe.
Like it's a multi-state.
Right.
Like, and it starts out as like a wager, right? He's got to get beer there, by a certain time.
Yes.
Yeah. And the, who's it, Paul Williams and the other guy? Or is that the, the second one?
No, that's it.
That's the first one.
That's the first one.
Yeah. I mean, it's a real bizarre look at like what the 1970s were like in America, mm-hmm. I guess.
And he picks up Sally Field in her wedding dress on the side of the road because she left her husband at the altar.
Yep.
A very weird movie.
Yeah.
Very weird movie.
And she was supposed to marry the sheriff's son, right?
Yes.
That's why they're being chased by Jackie Gleason.
Jackie Gleason.
Yeah. Yep.
Buford T. Justice.
Yeah. He had that weird like string of like comedy movies in the late 70s and early 80s. Mm-hmm. Cause he does both of the Smokey and the Bandit movies, right?
Yep.
And then he did like The Toy with Richard Pryor and like, mm-hmm. you know, I mean The Honeymooners were comedy, but like he seemed to have a resurgence in like the late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
So how did you feel about Smokey and the Bandit in the current, like, you know, juxtaposed to like what it's like today?
It was very escapist. I can give you that. Yeah, I don't know. It was what it was. It was just a stupid, fun movie. Star vehicle for Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
You know, not a lot of plot.
No. No, and I wonder, like, it's been a couple of years since I actually watched it. But I wonder what it was back in the 70s where, like, beer was only in specific areas. And like the idea of transporting it over a state line would be illegal.
Right.
So I don't know.
You could only buy Coors beer in 11 states until 1976.
Weird. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, because it's not pasteurized, it couldn't travel long distances.
Oh, okay.
It was cold filtered. It wasn't pasteurized.
Okay.
Apparently, President Gerald Ford was a big fan of Coors, and he would smuggle it back to D.C. with him.
Do as I say, not as I do. That's funny.
Yeah, very weird.
Apparently, Burt Reynolds was dating Sally Field at the time.
Yes.
And they made several movies together. Hooper, Smokey and the Bandit, Smokey and the Bandit 2, and The End. It's nice when you can, you know, nepotism somebody into the leading role like that.
Well, I mean, she was already a big TV star.
Yeah.
Gidget, Flying Nun.
I mean, was Burt Reynolds a household name by that time, or was this his kind of breakout?
Let's see. Burt Reynolds started in...
I mean, because... Well, that's producer, actor.
Stand by.
I mean, he goes back to 1958.
Yeah, he did a lot of TV back then.
Yeah. Did a Twilight Zone, just like everybody else. Where's the one? it? Deliverance.
Deliverance was 72.
So he does Deliverance before Smokey and the Bandit.
Yep.
Does The Longest Yard before Smokey and the Bandit.
Yep.
So he must have been a household name, you know, and just it was like, oh, this will be easy money if we put him and Jackie Gleason and Sally Field in the movie.
Well, and then they went on to Cannonball Run and...
Yeah. Another set of weird movies.
Yes.
Definitely a... We got some money and we're just going to kind of have this weird group of people doing a weird thing and it's just comedy.
You think they could pull something like that off today? I mean, what type of actors would they put in something like this?
Now it would be all fucking TikTok influencers and shit.
Yeah, because Cannonball Run was Burt Reynolds, Roger Moore, Farrah Fawcett, Dom DeLuise, yeah. Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr.,
yep.
Adrian Barbeau, Terry Bradshaw, Jackie Chan, Jamie Farr, Peter Fonda.
Yeah,
Bill Tillis.
And like all like if you look at like, so that's what, like 81, like they're yep. all in the middle of their prime. Like that's in the middle of everybody's career. And
right. I mean, could you see like Tom Holland and Zendaya doing some kind of zany heist movie?
Kinda. Although anytime
I think the egos and the agents would be out of control.
Oh well, yeah. I mean, I think the closest that you get to this is the big Marvel movies. I think like to have yeah. as many big name actors right now in a movie together, like Doomsday, I think is like the equivalent of the cast of Cannonball Run. And God knows what that set was like for Doomsday, of like the egos and like who does what and where and what time.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like making a movie with all of the people in 1981 was probably very fun.
I would think so.
I'm sure there were egos amongst I've always heard that Roger Moore was kind of a dick to be around. But like, if you watch the gag reels of Smokey and the Bandit and Cannonball Run, like they are just having a blast.
Right.
So that it must have been a good time. And you're right. I don't think at this point, like Doomsday is scheduled around when the actors can be there. So like lots of times they're acting against green screens or stand-ins or somebody else, so you know they're not necessarily on set together at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, the early 80s was just a different type of filmmaking.
It was a different type of everything in the 80s.
Yeah.
I mean, TV shows. I mean, Vegas was still in full swing.
Yeah.
I mean, what do we have today? We got TikTok. We got influencers. That's about it. I don't, looking back at stuff from like the 80s versus today, and it's like, you know, The Love Boat and Murder, yeah. She Wrote and all of these, you know, big TV shows in the 80s where they brought all of these actors together.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't see that happening today.
Well, you would never, ever get somebody to put on Battle of Network Stars. in this day and age.
Oh, God, no.
I mean, you can barely get them for carpool karaoke, and that's just them sitting in a car. But like any real fucking, like something like that.
Right.
That would never go.
Right.
Well, here's something. If you want to feel old, there's a couple of shows that have turned 40 this year.
Okay.
Alf is 40 years old.
Okay.
Perfect Strangers is 40 years old. Matlock is 40 years old. Designing Women is 40 years old. It's the Gary Shandling Show is 40 years old. And L.A. Law is 40 years old.
Okay.
That's crazy. That makes me feel fucking ancient. I remember watching Perfect Strangers from like the jump. Thought, oh, this looks funny. Remember watching Alf? Like, Jesus.
This is Achmonic.
Yeah. Wasn't the little boy from Alf, isn't he? Didn't he pass away?
I don't know.
Alf. Benji Gregory. Passed away in 2024 at the age of 46.
He was found in a parked car.
Nope. Nice. Weird. What else did you watch?
I've been flipping through old sitcoms.
Okay.
So I watched a couple of episodes of The Ropers, the spinoff to Three's Company.
Yeah.
With Jeffrey Tambor.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. There was a lot of sex in the 70s that I was totally unaware of. It was like very overt.
Yeah.
There was that. There was Hearts of Fire with Marky Post and John Ritter.
I don't think I've ever heard of that.
It was two seasons. The first season takes place in D.C. where she's a writer who suddenly finds herself out of work and pretty much homeless, and John Ritter is like a chief of staff or something for this really MAGA Republican senator.
Okay.
And she's very woke. And in the beginning it's very much, they go head to head with, you know, their belief system, and, you know, she's all for justice and he's just trying to, you know, keep this senile old Republican. Interesting. out of trouble.
Yeah.
And then by like the third episode, they're like in bed together. And then the second season, they moved back to his hometown somewhere in the backwoods. That's like, huh?
Okay.
It was very weird. In the first few episodes, Marky Post is very unlikable.
Oh, really?
There's that. I've been watching Ally McBeal.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. I mean, David E. Kelly just had this track record for legal shows.
Yeah, he did do a lot.
Yeah, I mean, he did L.A. Law. He did The Practice. He did Ally McBeal. He did Boston Public. He did Boston Legal. He was married to Michelle Pfeiffer at one point.
Was he?
Yeah.
Wow.
Da, 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 da. They're married in 93 and they have two kids.
Huh. Okay.
Oh, actually it says he's still married to her.
Oh, okay.
Well, there you go. But yeah, but like Ally McBeal was big because of, you know, it was another legal drama, but in this one, it was a quirky bunch of lawyers. There was Greg German and Peter McNichol.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of like Boston Legal, they had all kinds of weird court cases they had to deal with. Jane Krakowski is kind of the office manager.
Yeah.
But she plays it very sexy, and she's always trying to insert herself into the lives and the doings on at the firm. They have a co-ed bathroom. They have a bar downstairs where was featured like every episode. Vonda Shepard was like the bar singer, and she had like multiple albums, and then they started putting the cast in the bar performing.
Yeah.
One season Robert Downey Jr. was on the show.
That was like the start of his comeback, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that was his comeback.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, very odd show watching it again. But very, very close in tone to Boston Legal.
Is it?
Yeah. You know, one lawyer has a fetish with women's waddles. And he's always trying to like touch them.
Oh.
And then the Peter McNichol character is very awkward.
Yeah.
Towards the end of it, he ends up installing a remote control in his favorite bathroom stall because he likes a clean bowl. Dame Edna was on once.
Oh, geez.
Playing a character like Dame Edna as an actress, as a character in the show, not like, you know, Dame Edna just popping up in some weird thing. At one point they did, you know, the song Dance 10 Looks 3 from Chorus Line.
Yeah.
They did a montage of that where Dame Edna sings a line, Jan Krakowski sings a line. It was very funny.
Okay.
Very odd. So I've been watching that. And then Too Close for Comfort. Do you remember Too Close for Comfort?
With Jim J. Bullock?
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Who apparently is on the con circuit.
I saw that.
Yeah. That's another weird one. It's one of those, the two daughters want to move out of the house, but they end up moving into the apartment downstairs, and it stars Ted Knight,
yep.
Who was like, I don't even think he was 50 when the show started.
Really?
Yeah, but he looks so much older.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Jim J. Bullock is in it as Monroe Ficus.
Yeah, and he's like the weird like neighbor or something, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And Ted,
there's a lot of weird TV.
Doesn't Ted Knight like? Isn't he like a cartoonist and he draws with like a puppet on his hand or something?
Yes, Cosmic Cow.
Cosmic Cow. That's right.
Cosmic Cow. Yeah.
None of those classic shows would last a season today.
yeah.
Jeez.
So I watched that, and then I watched Tron Ares.
Okay.
I really liked it for what it was.
It's so you can't look at Tron Ares as a sequel to Tron Legacy because it's not.
Right.
This stands kind of on its own of like in the Tron world, but it's not really doesn't really have anything to do with the previous two movies. Right. Which, you know, going into it, I was like, knowing that Kevin Flynn appears at some point, I was like, well, how the fuck are they going to do that? But then you'd find out that like, it's a backup server and like the world of Tron, like that server is not the server that's in Tron Legacy. And that server was shut down by Sam Flynn. So what you see now is either the NCOM server at the building or, what's the other guy's name? Dillinger, the Dillinger server, which is where Ares is. And they're all the red guys. So I thought it was a good way of like, yes, these worlds exist. And while there's similarities, they're different because they've been created by different people and like, you know, bringing them into the real world was interesting and having that so that they couldn't last for more than a certain amount of time before they derez, I thought was cool. You know, it just is not what I thought people thought a Tron sequel was going to be, because there was very much a movie set up at the end of Legacy that does not come to fruition in this at all.
Right.
And while Ares goes off to look for Sam and Korra, it's not the focal point of the story at all.
Right.
But I did truly love the visuals of the recognizers and the light ships and all that in like the real world was very cool.
It was very cool. And I liked the things they did, you know, like the light cycles chopping the police car in half and, you know, all those kind of things. And then the point where Jared Leto goes back and does he get on the other server? Because he ends up where in like Flynn's light cycle from the 80s.
So
he goes back to Flynn's server, doesn't he?
So yes, they go back to NCOM Tower and there's like the upstairs is a recreation of Flynn's office when he disappeared. And that's got the backup. And so they send him in there to find the permanence code. And that's like he's back in like the original movie where like they recreate the light cycles and like the crack in the wall and like all of the stuff from the first film.
Right.
I mean, it's a love letter to Tron, like the original two movies for sure.
I mean, I think if they were a little more in tune with what the audience was expecting out of this, it could have, you know, developed further in the franchise.
Yeah. And like, Jared Leto is an okay actor. I'm not really sure why he was picked for Ares for this. Like, why would a digital creation have long hair and a beard? Like, there's certain things that like make me scratch my head at like just the idea that okay, he wanted to do this, but I'm not going to cut my hair and I'm not going to shave. Like, this is just who the character is, and like there was nobody else. Like, there's a very small cameo from Cameron Monaghan, who's Cal Kestis in the Star Wars games, and he was actually the Joker in Gotham.
Yep.
And I think he would have been a much better Ares than Jared Leto, and not really sure why there's such a small snippet of him, but like. Like even Athena, I think Athena, if it had been like Tron Athena and it was just the black chick running around, I think that would have been a cool thing too.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It had to be Jared Leto for some reason. And it cost Disney because a lot of people don't like Jared Leto. So they're not going to go see your film.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how you feel about him.
He didn't bother me in this role.
Okay.
In other roles, I've seen him, and it's like, okay, you're the reason this movie sucks.
Like Morbius? But,
it took me a while to recognize Gillian Anderson.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the British accent. I don't know. But it's like I had to like look up the cast list and go, oh, well, who's in here? It's like, what?
Yeah. And it's so in Tron Legacy, there's a scene, there's a boardroom scene in the beginning of the film where they talk about, I don't know if he's supposed to be his son or his grandson, but there's a Dillinger on the NCOM board, and it is, what's his name from Peaky Blinders and Oppenheimer?
Cillian Murphy?
Cillian Murphy. And he was supposed to be like Dillinger's replacement, and, you know, you have Sam and the Dillinger, and like moving on to a third film, that's who they were setting up. And then they get Evan Peters, and he's a different Dillinger, and he's got his own company. And it's like, well, what happened to the other dude?
Right.
Like, there are definitely plot holes within like the writing of the film. But I think as a standalone, like sci-fi action adventure, it's not bad.
No, it's not. I mean, I thought the graphics were really good. I thought the soundtrack was really good.
Yeah.
You know, serving its purpose.
Yeah.
It's like, it made perfect sense.
Yeah. I mean, if they could make those movies for a relatively small budget, like if they could figure out that level of graphics and not have to blow $200 million, like those things would be very right. successful. But, you know, egos and salaries and all that other bullshit just makes it like super mm-hmm. expensive, and they're never going to make their money back. And then you have a movie like Michael that is about to cross $1 billion. And it's like, is Michael Jackson really that big of a draw still? But I guess so.
Well, I guess. I think people are still, I don't know, fascinated is the right word.
Yeah.
But he's definitely relevant, I guess.
I guess. Very weird. I did go to the movies this week.
You did?
My kid wanted to see Supergirl, so we went this morning.
Okay.
It's not as good as Superman.
Really? Okay.
But not. It's a good film. I don't think I liked it as much as Superman. Millie Alcock does an amazing job as Supergirl.
Yeah.
She, you know, I know she took a lot of flack online for like having not seen the original Supergirl film or having talked to any of the other actresses that had been Supergirl in the past. But I also feel like her take is original. And maybe that was a good thing that she did not talk to anybody, because, you know, it didn't affect her performance in one way or another. And it's a small story. It's not, you know, they got to save the universe. It's not, you know, any of that stuff. There's no big tear in a world that they have to close or anything like that. It's a story about her trying to save Krypto and who she's got to go through to save him is basically the story.
Okay.
Jason Momoa is Lobo. Just feels like Jason Momoa in makeup as much as you think it would be.
Right.
But I also realized watching it that when he was Aquaman, he was doing Lobo as Aquaman, like without the cigar,
oh, really?
Without like his, I think his whole purpose was to one day make a movie as Lobo. Because it's very much like you can see what he did in Aquaman was basically what he thought Lobo should be. And while he's not in a big chunk of the film, he comes back at certain times. So he's in the film at different points. It's not just a cameo.
Okay.
So that I at least appreciated that they were like trying to make him part of the story. Whether he comes back or not, I don't know, because it's a very specific story. And I also can't figure out where this takes place in relation to Superman.
Okay.
Because I thought this was going to be before Superman, but sometimes in this movie, it feels like it's happening after Superman. So there's no real like explanation where it fits into the timeline, which is a little odd. But I do think it's a good movie. I really do. I know a lot of people are online are hating it, and you know, you're not going to please everybody. And there was a big thing about how it's not a good adaptation of the comic book that it's based on. And I was like, well, that's fine. I haven't read that comic book, so I have no expectations going into it.
Okay.
And I think maybe that's the key. I just don't have any expectations. Just like, it's a fun summer superhero film that is headlined by a woman, and some people aren't happy with that, but you know, what are you going to do? So,
yeah,
is what it is.
It's nice to be anonymous behind the keyboard.
Yeah. And there are plenty of people bitching about it, and it's just like, well, what did you want? Like, I'm not really sure what you felt was going to be necessary for a Supergirl film, because the original Supergirl film with Helen Slater is kind of unwatchable.
Yeah.
So like, it's way better than that. It's better than like the Flash version of Supergirl, woman, whatever she was. Like, you just got to accept it for what it is and move on. So I don't know.
Well, I'll wait till it's on streaming somewhere.
Yeah. So, yeah.
One more movie I watched.
Yeah.
Was Good Luck, Have Fun, Don't Die with Sam Rockwell.
Okay. How was that?
It's very interesting. Sam Rockwell shows up at a diner and he looks like a homeless person, and he's telling these people that it's like, you know, he's from the future and you've got to come help me. And he randomly takes people from the diner and takes them back to the future with him to help basically defeat AI.
Okay.
It's like there's a couple who are school teachers, and there are all these little seeds that are dropped throughout it. The kids at the high school are like mesmerized by their telephones.
Yeah.
And it's kind of controlling them. And there's a young girl in the diner who goes with him who ends up being his future mother.
Okay.
Very, very odd, but very, very entertaining in terms of what they kind of try to solve in this thing, you know, and seeing how different outcomes are the result of like different people being placed together towards the goal.
Okay.
There's one of the characters is a mother whose son dies in a school shooting, and these very Stepford wifey mothers are consoling her and give her this business card saying, it's like, oh yeah, they've been helping us a lot. You should, you know, go home and process this and then tomorrow call them. And it turns to be out a company that's actually cloning the kids because school shootings are so common these days that people are losing their kids, you know, 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
Very weird. And then she goes to a party with all the other parents with the cloned kids, and there's this couple talking about how it's like, oh yeah, this is like our 7th one, and you know, we just said it, you know, let's just make her fun, let's make her weird so she makes us laugh, and you know, manipulating your future in the most bizarre ways. Okay. Ultimately they find this, you know, the child, like going back to find the guy who created Skynet. So they're going back to find this kid who's creating the AI in the future.
Yeah.
And you think they defeat him.
Okay.
But they don't, and the movie ends.
Oh.
So a really interesting movie to watch. I'll say that.
Okay.
It's on Disney Plus, I think, right now.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, not like a huge star-filled cast. Michael Peña, Juno Temple, Sam Rockwell.
I mean, Sam Rockwell.
Zazie Beetz.
Sam Rockwell's probably worth it just for him.
Yeah, yeah.
He's awesome in everything.
Yeah, he's really good in this.
Awesome.
Is really good in this.
So I guess we need to wish a 100th happiest birthday to Mel Brooks. He survived.
Yes, 100. We do. Melvin Kaminsky.
So I was browsing Reddit the other day and I saw comedy legend Mel Brooks. And I was like, no. And then like I clicked on it and it was like, celebrates his 100th birthday. I was like, you motherfuckers. So yeah, he's one of the few that made it to 100.
Yeah. He's an EGOT as well.
Is he?
Yeah. Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony.
Oh, Tony for the producers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Emmy for the albums with Carl Reiner.
Okay.
Or no, Emmy for what'd you get the Emmy for?
Must have gotten it for something.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, he was a writer for Sid Caesar.
Yeah.
Way back in the early 50s.
Yeah.
Comedy albums with Carl Reiner for the Grammy.
Okay.
Oh, Emmy for Get Smart. He created Get Smart.
Did he really?
Yep.
I was not aware of that. And what was the Oscar win for?
The producers.
Oh, that one an amp. That one
best original screenplay.
Okay.
Yep.
Good.
They got 12 Tony Awards for the producers.
Nice.
That's kind of amazing.
Is that the original version or the Nathan Lane version?
That's the Nathan Lane version.
Okay. Nice. He is an original, for sure.
Certainly was. And he's still at it. We're going to have Spaceballs 2.
Spaceballs, the new one. They've decided not to call it Spaceballs 2. But yeah.
Yeah, good for him. Let's hope he lives to see it.
Yeah. I mean, he worked extensively on the script with Josh Gad, so
yeah.
I have a little bit of hope there. According to the IMDb page, Lewis Pullman, who is playing his father's son, Lone Star, his name in it is called Starburst.
Okay. Is there a product tie-in there?
I don't know. I mean, as much as a product tie-in as yogurt, I guess.
Yeah.
Fun. All right. Well, you got anything else for this week?
How do you feel about Doctor Who kind of being put on the back burner? The Christmas special for 2026 has been canceled.
Yeah, but Russell T. Davies said that he didn't even have an idea for the script.
Right.
And I know that he is a person that has said in the past he works really well under pressure, so it doesn't surprise me that he hadn't started working on it yet, I guess. As much as I like Cootie's Doctor and thought he was a great fit, some of the stories didn't feel very Doctor Who. Some of them did. Some of them, yeah. like it should have been a jumping on point for new fans. Here's a right. new doctor. He's a black gay man and not even like English. Like they seem to be ticking right. all the boxes for like, everybody's welcome. Everybody can jump on. Here's Doctor Who. It's a sci-fi institution. And then they immediately turned around and both seasons, you needed to know true Doctor Who lore to understand who the true bad guy was. And it's like you completely failed, like as a writing team to in all of it. Even the finale where the regeneration happens, like there's this whole plot line that's still in the episode about the doctor's granddaughter that happened back in like the 70s or the early 80s right. or something that like mm-hmm. nobody watching now that's watching because it's Doctor Who now understands any of that. And then they're just, that just goes away. I think in hindsight, I think maybe it's a good thing that it takes a little bit of a hiatus.
Yeah.
You know, they recaptured the magic in, was it 2006 when it came back? You know, they got a couple of really good doctors in there. They seemed to be, it was Doctor Who fans writing Doctor Who, and really like good stories and good storytelling and really good science fiction. And then it started to like get more meta and more strange, and the stories stopped being more about Doctor Who. And like, I don't know, maybe it needs another reset. Maybe it needs another 10 years of like being on a shelf before somebody goes, maybe we should bring back Doctor Who. I don't know. I mean, there was was it the last season where they went totally meta and the doctor ends up in the living room of Doctor Who fans?
Yes.
And like they're retelling the story to him and it's like, what are we doing? So yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's time for a bit of a hiatus. I don't know. They don't seem to have the quality that they once had, so let it rest.
Yeah.
I don't I like the partnership that they did with Disney just because it got it out there to more people, but like they totally fumbled the storytelling. So
yeah.
What are you going to do? You know, I kind of feel that way too in some aspects of Star Trek as well. I mean, there's been so many different versions in the last couple of years. And while there were concurrent shows running in the 80s and 90s, they were different enough to keep everybody interested in each of the shows. And while I think Strange New Worlds is probably the best new Star Trek, the Paramount Plus era, sometimes they take these big swings that doesn't feel like Star Trek.
Yep.
And the musical episode is great. I love when they do like, oh, this one's going to be a horror film. We're going to do this one as this, but if they did one or two of those a season, that would be better than they have 8 episodes. All 8 episodes are going to be a different genre and they're all going to be like, some of them are going to feel like Star Trek and some of them aren't. So I think unless we can get back to a show that, and I know they're not going to do more than 8 episodes or 10 episodes or whatever they're doing these days, but I think part of what made Next Generation and Deep Space Nine and Voyager feel special is that there were 24 episodes a season where there was time to grow the characters and there was time to tell the weird stories within the basic science fiction stories. And mm-hmm. Now they're just jumping on like, one week Spock has no emotions and this next week he's got all the emotions, but but that's not Spock. Well, we're getting to the Spock that you know, but how do you do that right. in eight episodes? You can't. So I don't know. As much as I love having good sci-fi on, sometimes I think it just needs to kind of take a break.
Yeah.
You know, give another IP some traction on TV and like, you know, let them build that up. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know. It's my weird rant about Doctor Who and Star Trek.
It's the trouble with fandom.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I think that's about it.
All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dance. Oh my God. I can't talk today. info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and YouTube and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
There was a problem, yo, I'll solve it.